today. We're glad to have you here, and just hope you'll stay around a few minutes afterwards and let us get a chance to get to know you a little bit. Two things I need to tell you about before we begin our lesson. First of all the ladies are asked to meet in the fellowship hall immediately after services for a short meeting about the Ladies' Day. So as soon as we get finished in here, ladies, if you would go over there for a real quick, brief meeting. And also, the other thing I wanted to tell you about, and just to encourage you, those of you who are not, maybe have not been attending our Sunday morning Bible class, I want to encourage you to think about that. What a great opportunity you are missing to fellowship, but especially to be able to study God's Word together. We've been having a really great study on Hebrews, and I want to encourage you to think about that and try to make an effort to be here for our Bible study, because otherwise you're missing some really great study. We have been talking about living for Jesus. And this is a series of lessons that we've been doing. This is lesson 8 of a 9-lesson series. So that means next Sunday will be the last lesson in this series that we're doing. And it has been a focus on realizing, first of all, that the world that we live in is full of corruption and sin. We jumped way ahead. And it's just all kinds of sin and problems. And the problem that we're facing is that a lot of Christians aren't living their lives a whole lot different than the way the world is living. And when it comes to the Bible, what we've been talking about is that a lot of people take the Bible. Somebody asked a question about this in our Bible class. Well, why do we have so many different religions today? Well, it's because a lot of people are taking the Bible and they're picking and choosing the parts that they like and leaving the parts that they don't like and not paying attention to it. So we end up with all that. Well, as God's people, we need to rise above that. We need to do better than that. We need to reject those kinds of ideas. We need to not live Christianity light. We need to live, you're either in or you're out. There is no in between. There's no fence. There's no gray areas. You got to be in, committed, or you're out. And we need to have that kind of commitment to God's holy word and to living holy lives for Him. The world that we live in is dysfunctional. In other words, it is not functioning the way that God intended for it and created it to function from the beginning. The question for us that we've been looking at throughout the study is, how do we as God's holy people function in the world that is dysfunctional? Especially when, as we've been saying all along, that it's kind of an atmosphere where dysfunctional is the new functional. And you notice that if you look around at different ideas and different things that are going on today, you think, wait a minute, how did that become right and this become so wrong? Where everything is just turned upside down in the world that we live in. How do we, as God's people, function in that kind of world? It's about living a godly life in a world that is very, very ungodly, and trying all the more to push Christianity to the fringes of society and culture, and really to silence Christianity. How do we, as God's people, function in that kind of environment? Jesus said we are to be a light in the world. Well, think about it this way. What is a light for? It's to shine in the darkness. The world is becoming more and more dark, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, we need to make sure that our light shines even brighter in the darkness. Okay? The only other option we have is to hide that light under a basket or a bowl. And then it doesn't do any good for anybody. So Jesus challenges us to let our light shine so that those in the darkness can find their way and see their way to the light. That is the light of Jesus. But that involves choices that you and I make in our lives every single day. Choices that affect ourselves and others. So we need to look at it in terms of the way that I live and the choices that I make in my life. How does it affect the people in my own home, my family members? How does it affect my neighbors and the relationships that I have with them? How does it affect the people that I go to school with, for instance, or the people that I work with? The choices that I make and the decisions that I make in my life have an effect on other people. And I need to recognize and understand how that affects them. And not only that, but it also has an effect on ourselves. And in two areas we've been talking about throughout this is the choices we make and the decisions that we make affect us for today, for now, in our lives every day, on a daily basis, but also they affect us for eternity. That is, where we're going to spend eternity. It is a result, in large part, of the choices and the decisions that we make right now while we are living in this unholy world. So we're talking about holy living in an unholy world, living for Jesus. How do I, as God's holy person, live for Him? And we're talking this morning about living with trust. Right? Now, this is a really important aspect of this whole relationship with Jesus and how He calls us to live as His holy people. And so, we begin this morning, let's talk about what are you leaning on? Okay, well, what do you mean? What are you leaning on? Well, the psalmist writes to us and says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding." Okay? "In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths." Okay, so it's a question of, are you willing to lean on the Lord and trust in Him, or are you wanting to lean on your own understanding, your own ways of figuring things out in the world, and your own plans and so forth? The wise man tells us to make sure that we trust in the Lord, not in ourselves. Okay? Let's take a look at it again. Trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. Okay? All your heart. Now, this is a vitally important aspect that we need to understand. And we've talked about this many, many times in different settings and so forth. How inclusive is the word all? Does it leave anything out? The answer to that is no. Okay? It's all your heart. God doesn't want just part of it. He wants all of it. Okay? And what we need to understand is that people in the world today are putting their trust in all kinds of different things rather than the Lord. And so it's things like this. When you believe in God, but you trust more in money. Okay? Are you hearing me, brethren? You see, where do we really put our trust? Is it in God or is it in other things like money? And so we look at it and go, well, yeah, you know, we do a contribution every week, you know, and so, yeah, I know I'm supposed to give, but, you know, I look in my checkbook and I go, well, I don't have enough money for this and that, and I got to take care of all these things, and so, well, I can't give to the Lord this week. But He says, trust in the Lord with how much?
All
your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. See, our understanding would say, well, I got to pay my bills first. And God says, trust me. Trust me. Yeah. You have enough to pay your bills if you just trust me. But how often do we do that? You see, people trust in other things, like money rather than God. And then, you know, Isaiah. Chapter 42, verse 17. They shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed that trust in graven images that say to the molten images, "You are our gods." And we've talked about this in the past before. Is this one of the gods of modern America?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, we think about it this way. When we have to stop and take a look at in most of the decisions that we make in our lives, when we have to stop and look at what our bank account says before we do something, who or what are we worshiping? You see? It's our bank account running our lives that allows us either to do or not do what God tells us to do based on how much money we have or don't have. Say, and what is our focus? Where are we spending so much of our time and our effort and our energy? Is it on making more money? You say, and so it has become a god to people today. The psalmist in Psalm 20, verses 7 and 8, "Some nations boast of their chariots and their horses, but we boast in the name of the Lord our God. Those nations will fall down and collapse, but we will rise up and stand firm." In other words, people oftentimes trust in, you know, their might and their power. And as a people, where is our strength? we count on this. Are those things necessary? Sure they are. You know, we need the military to defend us and all, but more than that, we need to trust in God.
Amen.
You say? In Psalm 118 in verse 8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. Boy, if that's not a message for today, what is?
Man.
You see? We put our confidence in men, and I tell you what, men will always let you down.
Amen.
And the reason that is because we're not perfect, none of us are. But God is.
Amen.
So we need to put our trust in Him, not in people. Not only not in people, but how about also governments? Look at verse 9. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Princes, they're representing government. You know, well, let the government take care of everything. You say, trust in them to take care of us. And the psalmist says, it's better to trust in the Lord. Rely on Him rather than them. Who are you leaning on? Who are you trusting in? You're right, that's a decision that we have to make. It's something we've got to look at and ask ourselves. Where do I truly put my trust? You say, and He calls upon us to trust in the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 23. Here's what happens when we don't trust in the Lord. Because you see, trust goes hand in hand with obedience. It's trust and obey, isn't it? When the Lord sent you out from Kadesh Barnea, He's talking to the Israelites here. He said, go up and take possession of the land I have given you. But what? You rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. You did not trust Him or obey Him. God said go and you said no. Why? Because you didn't trust Him. And of course, all of those of that generation, what happened to them? They perished in the wilderness because of their lack of trust and their disobedience to God.
Amen.
You see, as God's people, we really need to learn to trust Him. Trust in what He tells us to do. Trust and obey. There's no other way. See? In all aspects of our lives, we need to trust in Jesus. You say, well, wait a minute, what does that mean for us? Well, it means that when God tells me to love those who persecute me, to pray for them who persecute me, and to forgive other people, then I need to trust Him. And I need to obey Him. Okay? You say, but wait a minute, you don't understand. You don't know what they did to me. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what they did. They hung Jesus on the cross, as Chuck was talking about, reminding us this morning, and yet hanging from the cross, Jesus said what? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. He tells us to do the same thing. We need to trust Him in all of those matters in our lives. Okay? He says, trust in the Lord with, again, how much? With all of your heart. God doesn't want half-hearted Christianity. It will not work. Okay? You're reminded of the text over in Mark, when Jesus is asked, what is the greatest commandment of all the commandments if there are? And Jesus' answer was this, love the Lord your God with what? With all your heart, say it with me, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. This is the first commandment.
Amen.
Say, to love God with everything. Not just the parts we want to give. To love God with everything and to trust God with all of our heart. Right? Lean not then on your own understanding, but trust in the Lord. People say, well, I know what the Bible says, but... And the psalmist responds, or the proverb, the wise man of Proverbs says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. When we lean on our own understanding and think that we've got it all figured out and we can do it our way and our way's better and all of those kind of excuses that we use for doing things the way that we want to do it rather than the way God wants to do it, the warning is be careful because that is going to lead you to death. Just trust in the Lord. do things His way. It may not always make sense. Okay? And I think that's one of our really difficult things, is that sometimes the things that God tells us to do don't make a whole lot of sense. They don't make earthly sense, we need to understand, but they make perfect heavenly sense. And we may not ever understand why this side of heaven, but that side of heaven we will understand. It'll make sense then. But if we fail to do so, we refuse to do so, and we continue to press on in our own ways, we'll never understand it, because we won't get there. See? Because that way leads to death, when we try to do it our own way. Titus, the text that was read for us beginning, talks about being devoted to doing good. Paul says to Titus, this is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things. Now keep in mind that Titus was a guy kind of like me. He's a preacher, an evangelist, okay? And so Paul is writing him and saying, this is what I want you to stress to the people, so that's what I'm doing, okay? I'm stressing this to you. He says, so that those who have trusted in God, all right? Those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. That's the instruction that Paul gives to Titus about what he wants him to be stressing or teaching to folks. All right? To those who have trusted in God. These things, he says, are excellent and profitable for everyone. Now, let's take a look at that again. What is he saying here? Those who have trusted in God. Well, who is that? That's us. Okay? Those who have trusted in God. So he's talking to you and I. Alright? We've trusted in God. And what does he want us to do? He wants us, first of all, to be careful, he says. Why that statement? Well, because we need to understand how serious this is. We need to understand the seriousness of learning to trust in God. Because if you don't trust in God, you're going to trust in something or someone else. And that may be yourself, it may be another person, it may be the government, it may be your money, it may be something, but I promise you that that something else is going to lead you to death. And so we need to understand the seriousness of this, and we need to be careful about it. And then next he says, devote themselves. Devote themselves. What does it mean to be devoted to something? Well, that talks about an intense amount of attention being paid to it, rather than this kind of casual thought here and then every once in a while. Being devoted to it. And what is it that he wants us to be devoted to? Doing good.
Amen.
How do you and I, as God's holy people, live in an unholy world? We need to learn to trust in God. And we need to be careful, you say, being devoted to doing what is good. Not allowing ourselves to get caught up in all the wrong of the world and all the mess that the world is doing and all the sin that is out there, but rather being devoted to doing what is good. Why? Because as we said earlier, as we've been saying all along through this, the choices we make and the decisions that we make are affecting not only ourselves and our lives now and for eternity, but they're affecting all the other people in our lives. So we need to be careful to be devoted to doing what is good. In Luke chapter 6, verse 45, where's that goodness come from? Jesus says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So you want to do good, you've got to have a heart that is good. It goes back to the heart of the matter, you see. It always goes back to the heart, doesn't it? What we do and what we say comes from the heart. And if our heart is good, and Jesus is sitting on the throne of our heart, then what we're going to do and what's going to come out of our lives is going to be good. And that's what we have to keep in mind. And finally, we need to trust in our future. Yeah, trust in our future. They go, well, what do you mean? Well, let's go over to John chapter 14. In Jesus' statement to his disciples, he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. And there it is again. It's the heart, isn't it? Okay? And in this instance, Jesus is saying, don't let your heart be troubled.
Amen.
Don't worry about what's going to come. Don't worry about your future. He says, I've got that all handled. All right? So don't let your heart be troubled. We need to make sure that, you see, if we trust in Him, our future is secure. That's the message He wants us to understand. So you don't have to worry about your future. He said, well, I don't understand. What do you mean, Russ? Well, continue looking on. Verse 2. Jesus says, in my Father's house are many rooms. Some of your translations say many mansions, right? Okay? Looking forward to that mansion that I got up there, right? How about you?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm looking forward to it. Some of you don't sound very convincing. Okay? All right? Well, he said he's got the room there, right? He said, in my Father's house are many rooms or many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. And look at what he says there next. I'm going there to prepare a place for you.
Yes.
So Jesus says, look, trust me in this. He said, isn't that what he just said? Don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Where is that place going to be? In my Father's house, right? So he's talking about our future. Because none of us is there yet, right? Okay, so everybody with me, he's talking about our future. So that's why we don't have to worry about our future, right? Because not only that, but look at what he says next. If that were not so, if your future were not secure, I've told you that. I'd already let you know that.
Right.
If you had to worry about your future, I'd let you know that. Okay? So, don't worry about your future. I've got it covered.
Amen.
He's gone there to prepare a place for us. Where? In His Father's house, right?
Yeah.
And we can trust that He's done that, because if He hadn't done it, He would have told it to us. He would have made it perfectly clear to us that that ain't going to happen.
Amen.
So we don't have to worry about the future if we trust in Him. Right? And then look at what he says. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me. With that kind of a promise, what do I need to worry about my future for?
Man.
You say, no matter what happens to me in this world, if I will just simply trust in God and do what He tells me to do, my future is secure. I don't need to worry about anything. You see? That is a guarantee. If it weren't, He would have made it perfectly clear to us. He would have said something like, look, I'm going to go and try to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to see what I can do and work it out, and I'm going to plan to come back and be with you, and take you to be with me, and hopefully everything will work out fine. Wait a minute, what kind of a guarantee is that? But that's not what he said, is it?
No.
Not what he said. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house, there's plenty of room. And I like that part of it, by the way, because you know what that means? That means there's no competition. Okay, we don't have to be trying to compete with one another for a room. Or for a mansion. He's got plenty of room there.
Man.
Okay? And so we don't have to worry about it. And you know, you get to heaven, you say, I want the one with the jacuzzi. Alright, they all have a jacuzzi, okay? They're all going to be great. You don't have to worry about that. And you don't have to worry whether you might not get one. So I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if it weren't so, I would have made it clear to you. Don't forget that part of the verse. See? Trust in God. And that's one of the most difficult things, I think, for us to do, especially when stuff's not going well in our lives.
Okay.
To trust in God. And to trust in Jesus. Trust and obey. Allow God's word to live and to dwell within our hearts, even when stuff, and especially when stuff isn't going very well. Realizing this one thing. God says, I have a plan. The question is, do you trust Him? Do you trust God enough to allow Him to work out His plan in your life? As God's holy people living in an unholy world, especially at times when things don't make any sense whatsoever, when times are tough, that's when we really need to trust in God and allow Him to work His plan for your life. Do you trust Him? We're going to stand together and sing a song, an invitation song. And I want to encourage you to think about your level of trust at this point in your life in God. How much do you trust God? There may be somebody here this morning who's a Christian, but maybe you're struggling with trusting in God. Maybe there's stuff that's going on in your life that is really challenging your ability and willingness to trust God right now. Maybe you're trying to lean on yourself, your own understanding, or lean on somebody else or something else. And I want to encourage you to trust God. And let us help you to do that if that's what you need this morning. But there may be someone here also this morning who's not yet a Christian. You need to understand that the only way for you to find salvation is to trust in God. See? To give your life to Him. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and you're willing and ready to trust Him with your eternal salvation, then call upon Jesus as Lord. Repent of the sin that has separated you from God, and have your sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now, this morning. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to have a private conversation or prayer with him back there, and I'll be right up front to receive anyone who would like to come up. Let's get together.